your turn to be afraid.
Are you a fan of things that go bump in the night? Chills up your spine, paralyzed by fright, thrilled by horror at the center of a chat. Then welcome to the Nerds from the Crypt podcast.
Welcome back to Nerds from the Crypt, where we review your favorite and sometimes not so favorite horror movies, series, and comics. We also do interviews with indie creators about their ongoing and upcoming horror projects. I'm your host, Saul, and Greg will be joining me for today's episode. And I just wanted to go ahead and say it that we are glad to be back after taking the small break. It was not necessarily a planned one, but you know, sometimes life does get in the way. But we are more than happy to be back and be able to bring these new batch of episodes just for you all. So let's jump right into the show. Joining us this week from the UK, Miss Amber Doig-Thorne. How are you doing today?
I'm really good, thank you. How are you?
Well, I want to thank you so much for joining us because I know that you didn't have the easiest time to be able to find a place to actually get on the call with us.
Of course, no worries. Thank you for having me.
So Amber, you know, some of our listeners may not be familiar with your work, so would you like to go ahead and just introduce yourself?
Yeah, sure. So I'm an actress, comedian, presenter, and content creator. I've been acting since I was a child, but I really transitioned into screen acting in 2017. My first feature film was called The Seven. It was a horror film, and horror is one of my favorite genres to watch and act in. And most recently, I played one of the lead roles in Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey, which was like a super low budget, independent British horror film, but it ended up having a cinematic release worldwide. I think it was actually number one and number two in the US box office for a couple of weeks, which was crazy. But yeah, so acting's kind of my main passion, but I do lots of other like side hustles. I'm just trying to complete side quests left, right, and center.
Well, you did say that you liked horror, but would you like to just kind of give us an idea of how you ended up liking the genre so much?
Yeah, so my parents are really, really big horror fans. They've enjoyed horror movies since they were young, from what they've told me. And we kind of grew up as a household, like watching a lot of films together, and they would show me a lot of the classics, and that included horror films that they loved. So from a very early age, it quickly became one of my favorite genres. I remember loving Scary Movie in particular, just because it's not just a horror, you know, it's so self-aware and there's like elements of comedy in there. And I just realized, I was like, oh my God, horror is amazing. Like there's so many subgenres, you know, there's paranormal, there's thrillers, there's gothic horrors, there's so many different areas to explore. So when I started acting professionally, I knew there's so many different genres that I'm really passionate about, and I've had the privilege of acting in loads of different types of films, but I do love a good horror.
You know, you're one of the first in a long time actually that says that they loved horror since they were a child.
Really?
That's us. That's Greg and I. Yeah, that's Greg and I.
Nice.
But it is amazing. It is amazing how many people we talk to that are creating horror right now that say, oh, I didn't get into horror until very late in the game.
Really? Oh my God, that's so strange to me because for as long as I can remember, it's always been like my favorite genre to watch. I can't imagine my life without
exactly,
horror films.
Yeah. You're like, oh, it's you know, it's just there and it's,
exactly.
It's fun. Well, like you said, I think like the two sides of the coin, right? You got the horror and the comedy aspect. Yep. So it's, you know, scary and good. So
exactly.
I've always said that comedy goes hand in hand with horror. You don't need it in every movie, but just like we've been talking about like the Halloween movies and how they have horror in them and how that actually helps the movie balance out all the killing and all that.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say the horror balances out all the comedy because I mean, Michael Myers, so funny. All his one-liners, hilarious. Delivery, bar none.
So what was the first horror movie you worked on?
So the first horror movie that I worked on was called The Seven. And it's about seven kind of sixth formers, like college students who they basically end up being locked in their school after hours. And it turns out that like a century ago, some devil worshippers made a very big sacrifice on the grounds which the school was built on. And it's super haunted. And basically the students are kind of picked off one by one. Some of them become possessed, some of them turn against each other, but it's a really fun film. There's some great actors in it. Dean Cain, who used to play Superman, he plays kind of one of the lead, like, Satan worshippers. So it was a lot of fun to be involved in.
I know that tracks.
yeah.
From Superman to Satan, who would have expected it?
they both have an S.
Exactly.
You know, I am interested in the audition process, do you normally handle the process differently from when you do a horror movie compared to any other type, or is it all the same?
To be honest, I kind of approach my auditions the same no matter what type of movie it is. And that's the same with like building the character, you know, learning my lines. Because at the end of the day, I think it doesn't really matter what genre it is. At the end of the day, you know, you're just trying to create a believable character and make sure that's portrayed on screen. So whether it's a comedy or an action or a horror, I'd say it's pretty much the same process for all of them. For me, I know some people kind of approach different genres differently. But I found the best thing that works for me is just approaching everything kind of with the same method.
That makes sense.
You know, I have a couple of friends who are actor actresses, and what they'll usually tell me is that they go through hundreds of auditions just to hear back from one of them.
Yeah, exactly. So I remember reading something similar somewhere, and it was, I can't remember who it was, but it was quite a famous A-list actor saying that you're probably going to get one in 100 auditions. So if you audition for 100 projects, you're probably going to get cast in one of them. And to be honest, I'd say that's pretty accurate. I think in the independent world, you've got a higher success rate, especially now. I've done about 100 productions. I've done like 25 British feature films. So I feel like I've got a kind of good backlog behind me. So when it comes to like lower budget independent films, I know that I've got a better chance. But when it comes to like big Hollywood films, I would say probably 1 in 100, if you're lucky. It's incredibly oversaturated industry. But you know what, when you get that break, I'm sure it's worth it.
I was going to ask, does having that amount of work stacked up, because I'm looking through your credentials and it is ginormous, you know, I mean, that's an amazing amount of work. Does that help in that process of getting the producers and directors look at the cornucopia of items that you've worked on, and they're like, oh, all right.
So again, I think it depends. If it's like a big, like a bigger, you know, like Netflix Hollywood production, I don't really think they care about past credits as much. It's more of like your headshot and your showreel. Whereas for like lower budget films, yeah, I think they are interested to see, especially in horror. Like, I've noticed a lot of production companies seem to like working, if they're doing a horror film, they like to work with people who've done horror before, just because I think, like, I also do a lot of comedy, and I've noticed like comedy is very different to, like, for example, if you're doing an action drama or a medieval film, like there are different types of acting. So I do see why people want to see your backlog, you know, to make sense, make sure that you know what you're doing in that particular genre. So yeah, for independent films, I'd say people definitely have a look, and I do think it helps. But when it comes to bigger budget things, I think maybe not so much.
Let's just go ahead and start talking about some of the movies you've appeared in. We can start with the biggest movie that I think our audience would have probably heard of, Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey. Would you like to talk to us about how you heard about that audition?
Yeah, so I'd worked with a production company before in another film called Return of Krampus, which was also a horror. And I saw the casting call for Blood and Honey pop up online. I read the synopsis, and I'm not going to lie, at first I thought it was a joke, so I kind of scrolled past, and then as I was scrolling, I realized, I was like, hold on a second, that production company name, I've worked with them before, so I scrolled back, reread the synopsis, and I was like, oh, okay, this is like, I know they make this type of film, cool. So I read the synopsis in a bit more depth and read the character descriptions, and I thought, you know what, this is actually a really cool, unique concept. Like, I was such a big fan of Winnie the Pooh growing up, and like I said, I love horror films. So I thought, this is this really weird, unique opportunity to merge two completely different things that I love together. So I was like, why not? So I applied, and they gave me the role based on my performance in the last film that I did with them. So that's how that happened.
Ah, nice.
I got to say, when I first saw the poster for it, I thought it was I don't remember when it was. I can't say it was an April Fool's joke, but I thought it was just a gag.
No, so that's the thing. It right. was around the 1st of April when I saw it, and I remember messaging my parents, being like, "Is this an April Fool's joke?" I was like, "I'm not sure." I think a lot of people had that reaction, to be honest.
Yeah, and until the trailer came out, I think people were like, "What is going on? What are they releasing
exactly.
out there?"
Exactly. Once the trailer came out, people were like, "Oh, it's real. Okay, well, childhoods are about to be ruined."
I didn't know what to expect going in. When I first pushed play, though, I'm like, oh, okay, this is, because I didn't know if they're gonna take it serious or if they were gonna be kind of jokey about it, and they play it serious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So do you want to tell us a little bit about your character?
Yeah, for sure. So I love my character in the film. I play a girl called Alice, and what I was most attracted to about this character is the fact that she is in an LGBT relationship. And I feel like there's not that much authentic representation of queer characters on screen when it comes to low budget films. Normally, if there is for example, a lesbian character, their sexuality kind of becomes the be all and end all. And it's like shoved in the audience's faces and it becomes like their defining personality trait, which is not how like the majority of queer individuals would agree with, as in they wouldn't say, you know, that's how we're portrayed in real life. It's just in movies. So when I read the script, I was like, oh, I really like that this character is queer, but it's just a part of who she is. And it's very, very subtle. Like, there's quite a few people who watched the film and didn't actually notice. And I really like that. And the fact that she's such a strong character, and, you know, she really stands up for what she believes in. And towards the end of the film, like, she's the only human character to successfully stand up to Pua Piglet and, you know, get revenge. So it made me so, so pleased that there was this authentic representation there and that she's also so blooming strong. I just thought that was a really, really nice combination, which we don't seem to see a lot.
I mean, you're correct on as far as being subtle, because at first I thought they were sisters.
Oh, really? Definitely not sisters.
Yeah, that's the way that came across to me. But then I'm like, wait. And I do like that. I do like that it's not over the top. Yeah. Most of the time, I guess you get the stereotype, or you get the they focus on, I guess, the traits that they feel like they need to focus on.
They oversell it. They oversell the situation. And it doesn't necessarily need to be that way, because, like you said, it plays off more genuine and more realistic. Just being
100%. Totally agree.
When you're going through these type of productions, do they give you the full, I guess, the full script? Do you know exactly what's going to happen to your character, or do they kind of give you bits and pieces?
Yeah, so they give you the full script. I think it's only like Marvel and DC, like these big, big budget ones where they only give you part of a script. Like every film I've ever done, they've always given me the entire script, which is nice, because I don't know how these Marvel people do it. Like, it must be so strange not knowing what's going on. Like, I'm a huge fan of the Marvel films, and I remember I can't remember if it was Infinity War or Endgame, but I think they told Tom Holland, who plays Spider-Man, that there's this one scene where he had to wear a suit, and they told him it was someone's wedding, but it was actually Iron Man's funeral because he was so bad with spoilers that they were like, right, okay, we're going to give him a completely different script, not tell him what's going on. That's my I need to know exactly what is going on in the story.
No, I like I said, I really enjoyed the movie.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad.
Surprisingly, really good. As like I said, because of how I guess the perception was, like, what is going on with this movie?
Yeah.
And what I told a couple of my friends, and like, you need to watch it. It's kind of a mix between Jason and Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah, they're like, what people are saying.
I don't know how much information we want to give out as far as the movie, but they don't explain a whole lot. I think they explain enough for you to be hooked, but they don't explain like where necessarily the Winnie the Pooh characters came mm-hmm. from.
Yeah, so it's a bit of a weird one, because I remember asking, like, is it like, are the characters in Christopher Robin's imagination? And they were like, no, obviously, like, the characters kill people, so they're real. But they're like anamorphic creatures. So they're like half human, half animal. And I was like, right, naturally. Okay.
happens.
I was like, sure, that's totally normal. Okay, let's just pretend. So I was just asking them questions, like, you know, I think they kind of address it at the beginning of the film, because there's this cartoon sequence which kind of says what's going on, but basically the concept is that Christopher Robin's, you know, grown up in these woods and he's befriended these half human, half animal like creatures. So there's like Eeyore and Pooh and Piglet and Owl and Rabbit and goodness knows how many other ones, and then he goes to university to study to be a doctor, and because those creatures have kind of become dependent on him, like, he would feed them and look after them, so when he's gone they don't really know how to fend for themselves, because they're not fully human and they're not fully animals, you know, they're half, so they're just a bit confused from what I understand, which is why they then eat Eeyore and go a bit feral. That's my understanding.
No.
Doesn't really make sense to me, but there you go.
When they did that, I'm like, of course it's Eeyore.
Exactly. When I saw that Eeyore was dead, I was anybody. Like, oh, poor guy. It had to be him.
Don't bother.
Yeah, like I said, we don't want to give away too much away from the movie, so that those that actually haven't been able to watch it can go ahead and not be spoiled too much. As of right now, here in the United States, you're able to rent it or buy it from Prime Video for like $10. So I understand that maybe it might not tickle everybody's fancy, but I think if you can get over just the concept of it and just like, okay, this is going on, I think you will really enjoy it.
Yeah, I think I would say, you know, if you have young children, maybe don't show it to them because they may be scarred for life. Oh. But for anyone over 18,
I thought you were going to say if you have them. Show it to the young children, get them interested. I mean, you're giving them this really great story that's been with us for, I mean, years and years and years, and with a twist.
I mean, you know what? That's at your own risk. If you want to show your children, I'm like, go for it. But I will not be held responsible for ruining their childhoods.
What I like about the movie is that I already heard that there's going to be a sequel already.
Yeah, so I think they're actually planning like 5 films in total. They have this huge big plan. Yeah. So there's going to be quite a few more.
I forgot what the other entries are going to be, but it's going to be kind of an MCU kind of interwoven universe.
Yeah, so I think they're doing a few of the characters as well as the sequel. So yeah, exactly. I think they wanted to do it, like you said, it's kind of a whole universe of these horror characters.
I don't remember if they're the ones that also did The Grinch.
They're not. No, that was a different company.
As soon as the Winnie the Pooh movie came out or was announced, they announced that one.
Yeah.
I don't think that one did as well. I think this one was the better one.
Yeah, I think this one did better. I've not actually seen it. I think it was The Mean One is what The Grinch is called. Yeah, I haven't seen it.
The Mean One,
I'd love to watch it because I'm obsessed with the film The Grinch. I thought that was amazing. And I just like anything being turned into a horror film. So I'm definitely going to watch it at some point.
I'm hoping I can hear soon about the sequel of this, because like I said, like I really enjoyed this one.
Yeah, well, I was gonna say I can give you like some info about the sequel. I think there's a little bit of info out there at the moment, but originally it was so the final girl in the film, Maria, she was meant to be the lead role in the sequel. I think there was something happened. I think she asked for more pay and they ended up killing her off, and then the Christopher Robin character was meant to die. But he never really asked for much money, so they brought him back. But now he's dropped out of the sequel, so I have no idea what's happening anymore. I can't keep track.
So before we actually talk about any other movies, I wanted to ask you if you wanted to talk about anything else about Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey.
I think the key thing for me is just talking about my character, just because, like I said, you know, I feel like she's like authentic, and that makes me so happy. But apart from that, I'm happy to chat about whatever you'd like to talk about.
I'll say, your character was a badass.
Thank you very much. I was trying to make her a badass. I'm glad that came across the screen.
It did. It didn't come off fake when you actually confronted the piglet.
Oh, amazing!
So it made sense.
Good. Thank you very much. Job complete.
Now, there is a couple of other movies that you've done in the horror genre, like you said. No, more than a couple, I guess.
Oh, yeah. A lot.
Well, it looks like you're in another one that's kind of in the similar vein with the Easter Bunny.
Yeah, that was good fun. I filmed that last September, and it's pretty much as the name suggests. So the Easter Bunny, well, what you believe to be the Easter Bunny, is going around killing people. So, yeah, another childhood character ruined.
No, again.
It's becoming a trend. But no, that was good fun. I enjoyed that one.
And those for those that are listening, those other ones actually available on Tubi, which is free streaming here in the United States, or available through Prime for like $4.
I have a feeling we're probably going to watch that for you know, put that in the Easter basket for later. I was gonna comment on the top of the list because I find it interesting. You know, like we talked about the mix up of things that are, you do a lot of horror stuff, which, you know, for our listening audience is great, but then with the comedy, and then I would say with the most recent of your projects, a Comedy of Gamers, that's kind of a crossover, I would say, for our audience, because I'm sure a lot of our listeners like both things.
Oh, amazing.
Or video games.
Well, I'm like a super keen gamer and I love comedy. So when that one was pitched to me, I was like, oh my God, where do I sign? that was really, really good fun. And we've done two seasons now, and like, I've done so much comedy in the past, like writing and performing as well, and these scripts were just so much fun to bring to life. And it was kind of a web series, so it was a different format, because I've mainly done like feature length films, but this one was really nice because we did like 5 or 6 shorter episodes, and it was cool in a way because we kind of got to address more scenarios and more different plots in a shorter space of time, which was really exciting. And it was a wonderful team that we were working with. You know, the cast and crew were great and everyone was really funny. So yeah, I had a really, really lovely time on that. I'm hoping we'll do a season 3.
Nice, nice.
Very cool.
I realize that you're actually in a anthology, The Video Shop Tales.
I am indeed, yeah.
We just a couple of months ago, we talked to Aviana Snow about that.
I've worked with Aviana a few times. So The Seven, like the first horror film I ever did, she was in that. And I played the lead role in a film last year called Burnt Flowers, which is like it's set in the 90s and it's a psychological crime drama thriller. And she plays one of the characters in that as well. So we've crossed paths a fair few times now.
Nice, nice.
We're gonna have to watch a Seven.
Yes, but this Video Shop Tales of Terror, at least the first one, when we talked about it and when I saw all the behind the scenes videos and all that, like, man, this looks so good. I want to be able to watch it, but I know that they're gonna have like a limited production of the DVDs and all that. Hopefully I can get to watch it at least pretty soon here. Yeah. And especially the sequel here.
Yeah, I hope so. I was going to say, I'm not too sure what their plans for distribution are, but they're like, I feel like that company in particular, they're just pros at doing anthologies. I've done like 2 or 3 different anthologies with them now, and they always have so many great little short films that are like completely different, but then there's this overarching story that ties them all together. I just think they're like geniuses. I don't know how they do it.
Are you able to talk about that one yet? The segments that you were on the segment that you were on that one, or is that one still?
Yeah, so I can talk a little bit about it. Again, that was the Video Shop Tales of Terror 2. I was just there for, I think it was a 1 or 2 day shoot. It was very speedy. And my character was kind of, how do I explain? So she was basically like an influencer, but like a very heightened, emphasized influencer, the really annoying type that are just in your face and always like recording on their phones and never living in the moment. And it was so much fun playing that character, but I was getting so annoyed with myself. I was like, God, why is this character so annoying? And I was just like, that's really good writing though. Like when as an actor, you're getting so affected by a character. I was like, damn, these guys are good writers. They know what they're doing.
Nice.
Is it one of those characters that are like, if something happens to them, they're like,
honestly,
I saw that
like,
coming.
I was reading the script and I was like, please, someone just kill this character off already. I was like, I don't see my character, but she needs to go. She's just too frustrating. And you can tell everyone's getting annoyed with her. Like,
yeah, so I'm excited for that one. I've been on board since the first one. So I'm waiting to be able to see that one.
Oh, I'm glad. Well, I hope you enjoy it.
You said you were in Burnt Flowers. IMDb currently showed that in production. Any behind the scene information you'd like to share with us on that one?
Yeah, so I think they've actually finished production now. It was in production for a while. We shot it in quite a different way to what I'm used to, actually. So normally I'm used to doing just one principal production block of, you know, either 1, 2, 3, 4 weeks, however long it is. But this one, we shot it over a year. So we had like a 1 week filming block in February and then a 1 week filming block in August and then October and then the next February. So it was really spread out, which was really interesting because I'd never really done that before. But again, that production company, I've worked with them, I think, twice now. It's Fausti Films and they were just fantastic. And what I loved about that script is I read the script and I spoke to the director and I was like, okay, so I'm playing the lead character in this and it's very trippy. And I said to him, like, is this all a dream? Like, is she imagining this? Or is it real? Like, what's the scenario? And he was like, I'll leave that up to you to figure out. And I was like, oh my God, no, tell me. Like, I need to know how to play this. And he was like, I am the only person who will ever know that. Like, I want people to watch it and have their own interpretation. So I played it the way that I read it, but it was really interesting. Even being on set, I talked to other actors and everyone had a different interpretation. And I was like, this is this is the thing. Part of me thought, oh God. But then the other part of me thought, oh, actually, this is really cool. Like, I'm intrigued to see how it turns out because acting in it, it still felt like everything went together so well. So I have a feeling that if you, it might be one of those films where if you watch it with one thought in your mind, it works, but you could also think about it a different way and it also works that way. So I'm just very, very intrigued to see the final product.
Yeah, now I am too. Holy cow. Just the thought, like everybody, everybody coming in different way.
Exactly.
Yeah, so what I like about those type of stories is that you can watch it with a group of people, and when you'd actually discuss it, everyone can have different views on how it played out or how they actually thought it was it went while the movie was going.
Mm-hmm. 100%. Mm-hmm. And those are films that I enjoyed the most just because, like, it sparks such a debate. And then I just love hearing everyone's, like, opinions. And, oh, yeah, I'm excited to watch this in, like, a group setting and just ask everyone, like, what do you think actually happened? And, oh, yeah, it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, and I think that's the best way to watch any horror movies in a group setting, because you're not necessarily because you're going to be scared or anything like that, but because that's the best way to that's the best time to get
scared. Exactly. And the thing is, like, don't get me wrong, I like watching horror films at home, but I'd much rather watch them, like, in the cinema where I'm surrounded by like 100 strangers and we're all feeling the same thing at the same time. Mm-hmm. And like, I'm scared, is someone going to like creep up behind my seat and freak me out? Because I've had that happen before. And oh my goodness, I wasn't ready.
Oh no.
Well, you talked about Scary Movie. And that, there's that scene in Scary Movie where they're mocking the one of the scenes in Scream.
Yep.
Where the lady's screaming or yelling at the screen and someone comes behind and stabs her.
I love those Scary Movies. They're great.
It looks like you have a couple of zombie movies coming up.
Yeah, so I've got The House That Zombies Built, which is in post-production. I play a presenter. It's always fun playing a presenter because that's like another kind of hat that I wear. So I have like Amber the actor and Amber the presenter. So it's nice when I can kind of have a crossover. So that was good fun. I've got another horror comedy zombie with the same production company, Silent Studios, coming up, which I think we're going to shoot either later this summer or early next year, called Zombikini. And it's, as the title suggests, zombies in bikinis. And it's honestly, it's one of the funniest scripts that I've read. It's just very slapstick, humory. You know, don't take it too seriously, but it's a really good laugh. So I'm really excited to film that because I know we're just going to have the best time on set.
That's always the important part.
Yeah, exactly.
You need to take the movies for what they are. Don't, as far as like, if it's a comedy, take it as a comedy. Even if it's a horror, take it as a comedy.
Yep.
I feel like a lot of people want to try to dissect every single movie as being this, I guess, like, if they're going to, is it the best movie or is it the worst movie? Like, nah, just take every movie as is.
Can't you just enjoy it? Exactly. I mean,
exactly.
I my wife will watch movies with me sometimes and she's like, okay, I gotta check out because I can't complete this movie. And I'm like, but you'll never know how it ends.
Exactly.
It might get better. You know, you might enjoy it. There might be something in it that you really enjoy, like a scene, something. And I always find something in a movie that I'm watching. If, you know, I'm just like, oh, that was really cool. That was really funny. I would never have thought about doing anything like
that.
Exactly. So
And that's the thing. Like, I think originally when like the Winnie the Pooh film came out, it got really mixed reactions. And I think that was from people not realizing what they were getting themselves in for. So people thinking like expecting it to be like Quentin Tarantino standard and like having Brad Pitt come out and do some really dramatic monologue. And I mean, it's Winnie the Pooh as a serial killer. Like, come on. It's meant to be fun. Like, please, when people say they're taking it seriously, I'm like, oh no, please don't. I'm like, it's meant, even though we played it serious, obviously, like, it's taking the movie out of itself, you know, it's meant to be like a fun, silly, lighthearted film. And I think when people go into the theater knowing that, they have so much more fun watching it because they know they're getting exactly like what's on the tin, you know?
Mm-hmm. And going back to that one, the kills are gruesome.
Yeah, I know. You're telling me I was there when they were filming it. Like, oh my.
Yeah. They're intense. I was actually very, very surprised. I'm like, wow, they went for it.
Yeah, they really, really did. When I read the script, I was like, okay, this is very graphic. But then when it came to actually filming, I was like, oh my God, they did not hold back. But no, I think it turned out well.
They give the people what they want.
So what I thought was kind of cool is that most of the deaths are like CGI, but then there's one, which I'm not going to spoil who it is, but there's one where it's just practical effects. And I love watching that scene because you can tell that there's no CGI. And I just think it's so cool.
That's cool. Practical effects are just great to watch in general. So whenever that's one of my things, if I know a film has practical effects, I'm like, okay,
sign me up. Literally me too. I would much rather watch something that's like, there's something tangible there, you know, it's all like prosthetics or special effects makeup. I'd choose that any day over CGI. I just think it like adds another layer to the film, you know. It just makes it more realistic.
You can always tell when the blood is fake, and especially the way it splatters and all that. You can tell that it's too perfect.
Yeah, exactly. The
way, where it lands and yeah.
Because it's messy when you're using fake blood. Trust me, goes everywhere.
yeah. I get the reasoning why, because you can manipulate it as you need, and in case something happens, you don't have to clean up and redo it and all that. But
yeah,
when possible, I always love the practical effects.
Yeah, me too. Prefer that any day.
You had told us you wanted to talk about a specific movie. Which one was that one?
Oh, so just I've got like I think I'm in pre-production for about 13 films now. But there's two mm-hmm. or three that I'm really excited for that I've got coming up, which I would love to talk about if you want to talk about like I'll spill the beans. the first one is of course another horror. It's called The Baby in the Basket, and it's a gothic horror set in Scotland in the 1940s. And I play the lead character of Sister Agnes. I've never played a nun before, so this is going to be – it's very daunting. It's probably not the right genre, but I watched Sister Act the other day to try and get inspiration. I was like, I wonder what nuns act like. So I'm definitely going to be inspired by Whoopi Goldberg for that one. but it's a really cool script, and you know I have Scottish heritage, so any opportunity to go back to Scotland and film up there is always really special to me. And it's a really, really great script, and I think it's probably going to be one of the most challenging roles I've ever taken on, just because, kind of a spoiler alert, but I may or may not get possessed, and there's just a lot of twists and turns for my characters. Ooh. And I'm terrified to take on this role because I know it's going to be challenging in every way, but I'm totally ready for it. So that's the first one that I'm really excited for. The second one is called Mr. Hyde, The Untold Story, and kind of like Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey, it's like a modern day retelling of a classic tale of, you know, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. And there's a really good twist in this one that I wasn't expecting. And it was one of those scripts I couldn't put down. I had to read it in one sitting. And I play the villain, which is really exciting because I have quite like a nice, innocent face. So I'm normally the victim. So when I get cast as the villain, it's very, very cool. So I play a bit of a badass in this one, so that's going to be good fun.
Now, did you audition for that role, or did they kind of like, hey, you know, we want you for this role?
So this one was a weird one. I saw it on social media, and I was like, oh, this is such cool concept, and I just reached out, and I was like, hey, I was just wondering, like, are you still casting? Because I would love to audition. Like, I think this is such a cool concept. Like, I love how you're saying there's a twist. I'd love to learn more. And they were like, oh, we're actually fully cast, but the villain character, the actor that they cast had to drop out, and they were like, we're actually looking to recast today, would you be interested? And I was like, oh my god, yeah. Read the script, loved it, was like, sign me up, and now we're here. So that was definitely nice. Like a fate, right place, right time. So I was very grateful for that one.
I could see a little villain in you looking at, you know, but then again, you do have that look that's like, you know, I'm a nice person.
I get that. I think that's why whenever I play a villain, people are so surprised, and they're like, oh, she has a dark side. Oh. Like, you never expect the nice smiley ones.
And you said there was another
one? Yeah, so the other one is called Dying Breed. It's a Viking film about the end of Slavic paganism, and I think it's like a really important film that kind of needs to be made now, because it's like telling the true history of Ukraine. So it follows a group of Rus Vikings who are trying to sail to Scandinavia to find a safe haven. They end up being shipwrecked in England, which is where they come across this group of Saxons, including my character. So I play the lead female role, and I'm also co-producing the film, which is nice because I've co-produced like a documentary and some short films in the past, but never a feature film. So this is a lot of responsibility, but I'm looking forward to it. Yeah. Looking forward to getting my teeth into it. And it's just a really beautiful story. You know, it's kind of a mix between like drama, action, comedy. Obviously, there's so much rich history in there. And it's kind of all of the characters are going through different battles. So it's like a battle for love, a battle for freedom, a battle for belief. And it's one of the best scripts that I've read in a very, very long time. And I just knew that I wanted to be involved as much as I could, which is why I kind of requested to be involved in a producing capacity as well as acting in it, just because I know this film has so much potential.
And these three movies that you talked about, these are all, these are these slated for 2023 or 2024, or kind of a mix, kind of whenever they're ready?
So we're in pre-production. So The Baby in the Basket, we're filming in October. Mr. Hyde, I'm filming next month. And Dying Breed, we're looking to either film in Ireland or Sweden. So it just depends on when we get the permits and the permission. Mm-hmm. So hopefully the end of this year. But if it takes longer for the permits to come through, then next year. But yeah, Mr. Hyde, I imagine, will be released in maybe the second or third quarter next year. And The Baby in the Basket, probably the end of next year.
What is the normal, from your experience, what is a normal like turnaround time for from pre-production to like release?
So honestly, it completely depends. Like, I did a feature in 2019, which still hasn't come out. That was 4 years ago. Mental. I just really want the footage. I'm like, I just want to see the film. But yeah, that was 4 years. It was insane. And it's not like there's any CGI or anything. So I know for these big budget blockbusters, like sometimes it can take 4 or 5 years to come out because there's so many special effects. But I mean, this one didn't have any special effects, so goodness knows why that's not come out yet. But then again, the Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey, it was actually released less than a year after we filmed it, which was crazy. So I found the turnaround normally tends to be in between like 1 to 2 years. Sometimes it can be a little bit less, sometimes it can be a little bit more, but I'd say on average probably 2 years from like principal production to being released, whether that's in cinemas or on streaming platforms. But yeah, I'd say around 2 years.
Any advice you would give to anybody who's thinking about going into acting?
Yeah, 100%. I would say go for it. Like, I'm so glad that I went into acting. Honestly, like, every day is different. You get to play make-believe. Oh, it's just the best thing in the world. I think it is an incredibly tough industry. You know, like I said before, it's very oversaturated and there's a lot of rejection. But at the end of the day, if you can persevere and just stick with it and prepare yourself, you know, try to just get as much of a thick skin as possible so that you're ready for those rejections and you're ready to just keep going. I think people who are persistent and who don't give up are the ones who make it. And there's so many like A-list actors out there who've said, you know, they were ready to give up. And they were like, right, that's it. I'm going to one more audition and then I'm giving up because I've been doing this for years and I haven't made it. And it's so frustrating. And then that is when they get their big break. It's that final audition that changed their life. So I always like to think I'm just kind of one step away from, you know, achieving that greatness. And that's what keeps me going.
Well, I definitely want to make sure that to bring you back to talk about some of these films that when they start coming out. Because these movies, they seem really, really interesting.
Thank you very much. It's nice because there's a bit of variety there. Like, I feel like recently I've done a lot of horror, so it's exciting that like one of them's like an action crime drama and one of them's like a medieval film. You know, it's just, I think it's really cool to be able to do lots of different bits and bobs, and it keeps people on the toes as well because they don't know what you're going to do next.
Yeah, no, that is pretty awesome because, yeah, like you said, keeps us on our toes, yeah. And then gives us like all these different sides of you, like a fascinating
exactly gem. Variety like, is wow. The spice of life.
Yes.
You might have already answered this, but your favorite part of acting in specifically in horror?
So I think the reason why I enjoy acting so much is because to me, watching films is kind of a form of escapism. So like when I was younger, like I used to get bullied at school a lot and it was awful. But at the end of the day, I would just think, okay, it's fine. I'm going to go home tonight and I can watch a movie and just forget about everything. And I know that sounds like really sad, but to me, like movies just made like my childhood at school like so much easier because I'd go home and then, you know, I'd become absorbed in like Alice in Wonderland or like, you know, Harry Potter. I just think it's amazing how film can take you out of the troubles that you're having in your day-to-day life and just make you feel happiness and all of these emotions. And I think as an actor, that's my goal. You know, I just want to play characters and make films that make people feel something positive or that can take them out of challenging situations that they're in and just give them an hour or two of just happiness and being relaxed and not having to worry about anything. Because I think there's that many awful things going on in the world right now that we really need that, you know, whether it's books or films or gaming, just something to help you escape a little bit.
I have, so super big question because I know that we didn't cover it. And I know when we were talking pre-show, Saul didn't mention it, but the biggest question that I have, if you were, you know, do you collect things? And if you collect things, do you collect decorative plates? Because that would also be a lead in for a potential different podcast.
Sorry. So can you ask that again? So do I collect plates?
decorative plates.
So funnily enough, my parents do.
Okay, well, can I get their contact information? I'm done with you now.
This is fine. I will pass them on farewell.
All right, thank you so much.
Greg is a big collector of plates.
Oh my god, I love that. You would get along very well with plates. My parents.
I don't do spoons.
Oh my god, honestly. Spoons, my neighbors collect like spoons and like little miniature like knives and forks and spoons, and then my parents have the plates. I think we just must be like a street full of collectors of different types of cutlery. I don't know what's going on there.
That's wild.
But me and myself, I do. I can imagine. So many random different bits and bobs. I collect, you know, do you guys have like Funko Pops? Uh-huh. Yeah, mm-hmm. I must have about 50 of those. Every time a new film comes out, I have to collect them. Like at the moment, I've had my eyes on this like limited edition Winnie the Pooh one, and it's like sparkly and diamonds. Uh-oh. And I'm like, you know what? It would be rude for me to not have this in my collection now that I'm a part of this Winnie the Pooh universe.
Yeah,
I've been trying to like find it.
The multiverse,
exactly. The multiverse.
You need it now. It's a must for your wall.
Is there any movie or series that you're watching horror related that you would recommend?
Oh, horror shows. Yeah. So I had a quick. I had it written down. So it was called Shining Vale. Oh. So it was kind of like a spin-off of The Shining, I think. But yeah, it has Courtney Cox in and it's like a horror comedy. And I really, really enjoyed that. So I definitely recommend that. Horror films. I've just seen Knock at the Cabin. That was great. Latest Scream film. Fantastic. The Pope's Exorcist. Great. Megan. Love that. Smile. Love that. Also, this really small film called Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey, you know, best horror film I've seen in ages. Not that I'm biased.
Yeah, not bad.
It was okay. But no, otherwise, oh my God, Evil Dead Rise is like my favorite horror film that I've seen in recent years. I just think like Lee Cronin, the director, is incredible. And that, to me, that was like the perfect horror film. You know, it had the right amount of gore. It had like a little bit of comedy. Like the cinematography was awesome. I was just, oh, loved that film so much.
I have not seen it, but I'm wanting to watch it in the next week or so.
It's so good. It's definitely my favorite out of the franchise.
There is a movie coming out in the next week, I believe, called The Boogeyman. It's based on a Stephen King story.
Yes. Yep. So I've heard about this one. I'm excited for that.
This story has been one of my favorites since I read it. Like, I think I was in high school when I read it.
Really?
So the thing about me is when I'm reading, especially the Stephen King short stories, I start thinking about how it would play in a movie.
And now you get your opportunity. And to now see I it get to. Unfold.
Although I can already see that it's quite different from the story. I think probably the main things are probably the same, but the setup is a little bit different.
Yeah.
But we'll see. I'm anticipating that one.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, I'm looking forward to that one as well. Again, like I read this, like so many of Stephen King's books growing up, and anytime that they're like transformed into a film, I just know that I'm going to love it because the books are just fantastic.
Yeah, and even the movies that they say are not the greatest, I still like Dreamcatcher is still one of the ones that people say that they don't like. Absolutely love that movie.
Me too. I like all of them.
Yeah.
Every single one.
I read the book in like 3-4 days. And then, and I only read the book because the movie was coming out. And then I went to watch the movie and I'm like, oh man, I love this.
Yeah. No, I was going to say, I know that there's so many stories out there. And I read somewhere that you can apparently like buy the rights to some of his short stories for like $1, which I think is insane. So I'm so tempted to just like pull together $100 and buy like as many as I can and turn them into short films.
So they're called the dollar babies is what he calls them. So, but they're specific to being released at a certain day and certain stories. But the only thing is that you can do it, make a short story, but you don't keep the rights to it.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. I'm guessing he's keeping the rights so that he can sell them.
No, that makes sense. I don't blame him.
But I think it's more for people to be able to say like, take a stab at directing or writing, and you don't get to keep the money, but at least you get the practice, experience. I guess. Yeah, experience.
Yeah, plus at least you can say like you've kind of worked on a Stephen King story. Like I would love to be able to say that, especially as a horror fan. You know, that'd be incredible.
This might not be factual. I think I might have just heard it, but I think Frank Darabont might have done that, which he's the one that ended up doing What was it called? The Mist and Shawshank Redemption. And there's another one he did.
Okay.
I think he might have, did he do? He might have done The Green Mile.
Mm.
But he did, he's done about 3 movies of Stephen King, and he's done an amazing job every single time.
Amazing. Oh, okay. I'm going to have to look into these.
Yep. But yeah. Is there anything that you want to go ahead and talk about before we wrap up today's episode?
It was those 3 films that I've got coming up that I'm like super passionate about, to be honest. So now that I've had a chat about those, I'm perfectly happy. So if there's anything else you want to ask, you know, feel free. But otherwise, I will be on my way and start collecting some plates so that next time I
you'll be ready.
And if you could find any plates with trains on them, it's even better.
Yeah, because I mean. Right. That's the other portion of the podcast is trains. Now, I was going to get into that, but I heard your experience was not so great this morning, so I don't even want to get into that today. We'll have that another time.
I think
time.
I need a good week to get over the PTSD from that horrific train journey. So.
No. I won't. It sounds like, you know, you got railroaded. So I stay away from that. But that is the whole podcast is plates and trains, and we just talk nothing about plates and trains for a good, 5 hours.
Say no more. I am going to find the perfect plate with a train just so I can discuss it next time.
Oh my gosh, my heart.
And like I said, just let us know when any of these new movies come out where we can go ahead and talk about it.
Yeah,
we'll be more than happy to have you back.
Amazing. Thank you so much. It was so lovely chatting to you guys. I'd definitely love to come back on at some point in the future.
Well, it was our pleasure. Thank you very much for taking the time. I actually do want to apologize for the last month. We were supposed to do this one. That was all on me. I apologize.
Oh, it's all good. Don't worry. It's all good. Sorry that I was a bit late today. Now we're even.
Once again, thank you very much for joining us here and running through the gauntlet today to be here with us.
Yeah, no worries. Like I said, it was a pleasure talking to you guys. I hope you have a lovely weekend. I'll see if I can get, I think it was Faye that you might have been speaking to. So I'll see if she can reach out to you when one of the next films comes out.
Oh, yes. I want to give a big shout out to Faye for not only introducing us to yourself, but also introducing us to Amber. So yes, they would definitely let us know when the next one comes out so we can go ahead and talk about it and have yourself or definitely have Amber on, or maybe if it's one of the ones that you're on, both on the same time, both of you on the same movie. But with that, we're going to go ahead and leave it there, and we'll just give thanks to Amber for joining us and fighting for throughout the day to get here to us, and also thank you to the audience for sticking around and listening to the episode. Let us know what you think of the episode. Let us know if you've seen any of the movies that we talked about and what you thought of them. But until then, we'll see you guys next time here on Nerds from the Crypt.
It's your turn to be afraid.
Are you a fan of things that go bump in the night? Chills up your spine, paralyzed by fright. Thrilled by horror at the center of a chat. Then welcome to the Nerds from the Crypt podcast.